Thank you so much for joining us on the River City Church podcast. If you're blessed by this message today, we would love to hear from you. Check out our website at rivercitychurch.cc and let us know what God is doing in your life. If you would like to support this ministry financially, click the giving link on our website and choose the best option for you. Thank you again for joining us today. We hope you enjoy the message.
Well, come on, let's give the Lord one more hand clap. Go ahead and turn to your neighbor, tell them this morning, say you're lucky you got to sit by me. Let them know they're lucky to get to hang out with you today. And I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for Mother's Day, and I'm thankful for mothers. Go ahead and give all the mamas a hand clap this morning. We love you. Thank you for not eating us when we were young. Amen. We're glad you're here today. And I want to show you my favorite photo that's been captured by camera this year. And it's a photo, I believe it's from up in Michigan. Now, I'll show you what it is. Y'all go ahead and throw that photo up in the back, guys. I'll show you a little bit about the power of a mother. And right there, you're looking at a mother goose chasing like a teenage kid on the golf course. And you know, what happened to this kid is this kid got a little too close to a mama's nest, a goose's nest. And we have a kid who's probably in the height of his athletic years. He also has a whole bag full of goose killers. And still, how many know mama goose is 100 and this kid is zero? And I just know this. This is what happens whenever you mess with a mama's nest. How many know he got too close to the nest and he gets it. And so I'm so thankful for this kid, because anytime I have a down day, I just look at this picture and I'm immediately happy again. Come on. How many of you know we just don't mess with mama's nest? Somebody say amen to that. You don't go messing with mama's nest, because if you mess with the nest, you get it. And that's a little bit of the nature of a mother. Is a mother's heart is to protect, to love, and to care for their children. And this kid gets too close to the nest, and he gets it. I remember working at a country club out in Tulsa. We had a mother swan there. And whenever she had some little, whatever you call them, I don't know what baby swans are, but whenever she had them, she was ready to take anybody out that got within a mile of that lake. And so you knew going around number 11, you better watch out, because the swan was there. And I'm thankful for mothers who, I know some of you are classy, you're reserved, everything's perfect about you all the time, but I'm telling you, if somebody gets close to messing with your kid, you better watch out, because you can go crackhead crazy in 0.5 seconds, and the whole thing can turn around. And that's the love of a mom for her kids. I want y'all to give my mom a hand clap. She's over here today. Love you, Mom. I'm glad you're here. She's always here on Sunday morning, drives an hour to hear me preach, which is a miracle because she's known me all my life. But I'll tell you a little story on my mom. When we were kids and we weren't born again, we got in a whole lot of trouble back in the day. You know my testimony. But Mom found out that a certain drug dealer was selling us drugs whenever we were a kid. And he was a guy that he was one of the larger drug dealers in Western Kentucky. People were scared of him. People feared him. Whenever Mom found out that's where some of our supply was coming through, I don't know how she found it out, but she found it. She called this guy and said, everybody else might be scared of you, but I'm telling you, if you deal with my kids any more drugs, I will personally bury you. And Mom called him out, knocked on his door. I'll tell you, if I went anywhere around where that guy was, he ran for the hills for the rest of my life. That's the love of a mama. You don't mess with a mama's nest. You ought to give my mom a hand clap. She's Mama Mafia, is what we call her, all right? I want you to open up your Bibles, and I want to show you a story of one of the strongest mothers. All right, and one of the strongest examples of motherhood in the Bible, and that is Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. You know, I think I'm in the kingdom of God right now because of my mother. I really believe that. I know that with all of my heart. It was my mother and my grandmother that prayed us into the kingdom. And every time I came home back when I was a kid, Mom would have Christian literature like littered all over my room. She littered the upstairs with Christian literature. And I'm pretty sure she was in my room. She was praying over my bed and anointing stuff with oil and all that kind of thing. And I'd be like, Mom, get your stuff. I appreciate your book, but I'm never going to read this. Quit giving it to me. And now we know it's that perseverance of a mother that loves her child. So many of us are in church today. So many of us are born again today. So many of us are delivered today because there was a mama or a grandmama who just wouldn't give up. And I want to say thank you to every mother, every grandmother that just wouldn't give up. And you filled the kingdom of God, you moms have. Here is a story of a prototype mother, which is Mary, the mother of God. I want to read it to you today, and I want to show you some things out of the life of Mary, all right? Luke chapter 1. If you have your Bible on you, open it up to Luke chapter 1. We'll start reading in verse 26. Luke 1, 26. Here's what it says. If you're there this morning, go ahead and say, uh-huh. All right, Luke 1, 26. This is Mary, the mother of Jesus. It says this. Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the faith of a mother. We thank you for a supernatural faith being released into this crowd. I thank you for every mother who's led and nurtured and brought a child to the feet of Jesus. Today we speak a blessing over all the moms. We pray that you lead them, you guide them, you give them unbelievable peace today. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Amen. Here's one of the first things I see about Mary. You kind of see the story of Mary. Mary's a 15-year-old girl. Most scholars agree she's about 15. She's doing her thing. She's headed in life. No doubt as a 15-year-old, she has some plans. She is engaged, or they call it betrothed, back in that day. She knew where she was going and what she was doing. How many of you have some plans of what you want to do and where you want to go and how you see life coming? And I've kind of found this about our plans. How many would agree with me, most of your plans, when you start thinking about your life, especially earlier in life, the star of the show in all of your plans is you. Would anybody agree with me out there? That's kind of the way it is. When you're 15, 16, 17, 20 years old, you are the star of the show. You are the belle of the ball, right? You kind of think of your life as a movie, and you are the number one role in the movie. Everybody else is just kind of support cast. And so Mary's a 15-year-old girl. She's probably thinking like that. And all of a sudden, boom, an angel shows up. Atmosphere shifts in the room. All of a sudden, an angel steps out of glory and is standing right in front of Mary. Think about being in a room where that happens. You're hanging out, you're making your plans, you're doing your things. Boom, the divine shows up right in the middle of the room. I'm sure the glory of the Lord came into the room, the anointing. You could cut it with a knife in the room. And that angel begins to talk to Mary. Mary, first off, is afraid. She wonders what manner of greeting this is. Why would she be afraid of an angel? Well, think about her. She's a Jew 2,000 years ago. Her background and probably the number one story she heard about angels was the Passover angel. So when an angel showed up, you think about it's here to take somebody out. It's the death angel that took the firstborn out of the land of Egypt. So she's afraid. It would be almost like a grim reaper showing up in the room. And then the grim reaper, the angel, calms her down, says, "Calm down. I've come here because you're favored." Everybody say, "You're favored." Man, let's say it again, "You're favored." He says, there's a favor about you. You're going to have a child. The Holy Spirit's going to overshadow you. And I'm telling you, you're going to bring forth a son. His name is Jesus. He's going to turn the world upside down. He's the Savior, the Messiah everybody has been looking for. Mary asked a question. She asks a question of faith. Now, there's two kinds of questions you can ask in life. One is a question that is backed by faith. The other is a question that's backed by doubt, fear, sometimes anger and bitterness. How many know if God's given you a path and you believe that that path's going to come and you're asking, "How's this going to happen?" That's a faith-filled question. God doesn't mind that. But now let me know if he's telling you you're going to do something and you're asking questions because you doubt it's going to happen. That's a different kind of question. I don't mind asking questions. Most of the time, God won't give you the answer. And how many know if you try to figure it out in your own mind, how many of you have gotten something wrong you thought God was going to do because you knew God was going to do something, but you thought he was going to do it this way, and he had another plan all the time. A man plans his own steps. The Lord laughs at him. Come on, let's give God a hand clap because he's going to fulfill every word. He doesn't need our approval or our plan. Come on, really give him a hand clap. It's his plan. It's going to lead us and guide us. How many of you want his plan in your life today? I want his plan. And here's how Mary partners with the plan. She asks a question, and then at the end, she responds in faith. She says, "Let it be unto me according to your word." Let it be unto me according to your word. Let it be unto me according to your word. How many of you want your life to be according to his word? Man, I love a faith-filled mama. Mary was a faith-filled mother. And I'm telling you, all you mothers that you're here in the house of God today on a Sunday morning, you got up and got your family here. You got your kids ready. You fought the fight of faith. They kicked their shoes off again. You fed them and they rubbed it on their shirt. Come on, you put them in the car and they puked in the back seat. But you're still here in church. You fought the fight of faith. You're already winning the fight of faith. Come on, give all the moms that got kids ready today a hand clap. Man, I appreciate you. I think about Jessie this morning. Jessie has chapel with her. She's preaching in Texas. She got up because she wanted to lead the body of Christ today. She preached a women's conference yesterday, flew to Texas last night, will preach three times this morning, will get on a plane and fly home this afternoon to have Mother's Day night with her children. Come on, let's give Jessie a hand clap for her. That's a fight of faith. She'll need a nap, but that's a fight of faith. Amen. Come on, I don't know about you, but I want to be faith-filled. Because faith changes the atmosphere. The mother's faith, I'm telling you, moms that have faith, I believe that your faith changes the atmosphere of the house. I really don't think there would be Christians in my house that I came out of if it wasn't for my mother. My mother's faith, her heart, her love, her prayer, her service at church, it changed the atmosphere for the household. And because of her and because of that faith, I am what I am today. It was in the house. Things were pulling me a million different directions. But there was still this honing device in my heart that was planted in my heart by a mother's faith. Now, I'm telling you, so many of you are here in the kingdom of God because there was a mama or a grandmama that believed. And come on, we're going to be that for the next generation. If you believe it, come on, somebody say amen this morning. Mary had a heart filled with faith. Second thing I see about Mary, this faith mother, is she said yes to the plan of God. Somebody say yes out there this morning. We say yes. Come on, say it again. Say yes to the plan of God this morning. I mean, that's a powerful thing. Just being a person that says yes. Being a person that says yes is more important than being a person that's perfect. Being a person that says yes is more important than being a person who's educated. Being a person that says yes is more important than a person that comes from the right, whatever it may be. I'm telling you, having that yes to the call of God and the heart of God will set you up for greatness in life. God came by and knocked on Mary's door, and Mary said yes. Because Mary said yes, Mary is a player that'll be preached about until Christ returns. That yes set her up for a legacy, for her name to be in the Gospels, for all of us to know about her. I'm telling you, I don't know what your yes is about today, but I know this. If God is asking and you've said yes, you've set yourself up for the greatest life and the greatest adventure imaginable. It won't be without pain. It won't be without trouble. It won't be without trial. It won't be without tribulation. But I'm going to tell you, with him and with that yes, everything will be possible to him who believes. It's the yes that sets the pace for a God-honoring life. Come on, somebody ought to say yes one more time today. Mary said yes. She said yes to God. Think about this. When she said yes to God, she really said no to self. And that's the bottom line of the gospel. All of his promises are yes and amen. We can have all the promises of God in our life. But what it will require is us to say yes to God. And saying yes to God means I have to say no somewhere else typically. If I say yes to God, I have to say no to my flesh. If I say yes to my God, I have to say no to the God of this world. Come on, somebody. If I say yes to the Spirit, I have to say no to my sinful carnal nature. Mary said yes to the plan of God. Think about where she puts herself. Man, whenever she says no to her plan, she's a betrothed woman in the ancient Near East. She's going to be with a child. And we're talking about in a day where Joseph knows he hadn't slept with her yet. So she's going to have a child. She does. She's never been with a man. And whenever people find that out, here's what the punishment could be for Mary. Mary, literally, it could cost her life 2,000 years ago. By the law of Moses, she could be taken outside of the city of Nazareth. And all of her peers could come out. All of them could pick up a stone. And by legal right, by the law of Moses, they could stone her to death and take her life because of what they perceived to be a sin, which was really the plan of God. How many know Mary, whenever she said yes, she really put something on the line? Come on, let's give Mary a hand clap for putting something on the line. And all of you mothers that take care of a child, really, how many know whenever you become a parent, there's a lot of things you got to say no to yourself about to say yes to them, to be a good parent? To be a good parent, you have to say no. I know as guys, what happens to most guys should happen to most guys. Some of you, we're still believing God for you, but what should happen to most guys when they have children is that you have to kill the 17-year-old on the inside of you. You have to kill the 17-year-old on the inside of you. Because on the inside of all of us, it doesn't matter if you're 70, there's still a 17-year-old somewhere on the inside of you. And you got to daily make a choice to put that 17-year-old to death. Come on, how many of you know what I'm talking about? And he shows up from time to time in your life. You ladies, it's the same way. There's a 17-year-old that's selfish on the inside of all of us. But when we parent, we know there's something larger than ourselves that we're here to do. Come on, there's another generation. It's not about us anymore. And a mama says yes to her child and says no to herself. And you get primed for that when you have a baby. Time a mom gets up to feed that baby and dad's snoring, you know. I was worthless whenever we have little bitty babies. I was no good at all. And I would try, but how many know a man's just, most men are just ill-equipped is what it comes down to. And so Jessie would say yes to the child, no to herself. Get up and take care of it, right? That goes on. Then they start school. How many know when the sports come along, that they start playing those after-school activities? How many know you're really saying no to yourself every night, right? Got to say no to watching TV, no to The Walking Dead, yes to soccer and wrestling practice. It all changes. Come on, let's just say yes to the plan of God one more time this morning. Let's give him a hand clap for even asking us to be a part of his kingdom. We get to say yes to it. Thank you, mothers, for saying yes to the plan of God. Third thing I see, she says yes to the plan of God. She's also, one of the third things I see is she raises Jesus as a child, and then she follows him in faith as an adult. Think about that. She raises Jesus as a child and follows him in faith as an adult. That's tough. How many know your kid's always probably going to be a kid in your eyes, right? To a certain extent. Doesn't matter if they're 30, doesn't matter if they're 40, doesn't matter if they're 50, you probably still see them as 5, 6, 7 years old. And so Mary births Jesus. The infant, infinite one becomes an infant, walks through the womb of a woman into this world. Mary births Jesus. Mary cleans Jesus up. Mary changes Jesus' diaper. Mary gets Jesus through school. She does all of that. She raises him as a child. You know, I know a lot of us would think that Mary was absolutely perfect in every way, and Mary is a player. She's a faith star, a superstar, so to speak. But how many know she has a parenting time or two in the Bible where she didn't handle everything perfect? And that is, that's comforting to me as a parent. How many know there's no such thing as a perfect parent? There's only one. He sits on the throne. Somebody say amen to that. Somebody say amen to that. And now a lot of you ladies, you feel tremendous pressure about your parenting now. Facebook's taking that to a new level. How many know everybody on Facebook is extremely opinionated about the way you parent and raise your children? And you want to watch people go crazy. Let them get on there and let them start talking about vaccinations for children. Let them start talking about their birth plan for children. You know, some people, if you feed your child something with gluten in it, you've literally given them radioactive material to play with. How dare you? How do you remember back when there were no car seats in the car and you rode up in the back glass of the big car and, come on, we ate stuff right out of packages and we are still alive. Come on, let's give God a hand clap for his grace that we lived through all of that. You know, there's the judgy Facebook people. I read that stuff. It doesn't affect me at all because I don't care. I'm a dad. And dads just don't care. All you dads say amen out there, you know. It's like I fed them, I bathed them, I educated them. I got them out of the house. Praise God. I did my part. And moms are different because dads provide identity. Dads provide protection. Moms provide nurturing, care, and comfort. That's why the women, you create a soft place to land in the house and in the church. And I still believe in gender roles, by the way. I'm just telling you, this church is old school. And not that I'm a misogynist or anything like that, but I think there's a role for a father and there's a role for a mother. God created them just like that for a reason. And it's just the way the world's designed. And when we work God's plan, it works. And I don't even know what I'm talking about now, but it's good. I know that much. And here's what I'm saying. It's like, I just really believe moms care because they got a heart to nurture and care for their kids. But I want you to take comfort in this. All right, Mary takes a 12-year-old Jesus up to Jerusalem for a feast. It's like this weekend. We had the barbecue fest downtown, right? People come in from all around the region. They're there to eat the barbecue. There was no pork served in Jerusalem, but they still had a big festival. And everybody comes down to go to the festival. Jesus is there in the festival. The festival's over. It's a feast day, a celebration holiday for the Jews. They start traveling. The family starts their journey back, going all the way from Jerusalem back down to where they lived, down in Nazareth. And so they're headed home. And they get a couple of days into the journey, and they realize that Jesus was not with them. Now, I might have made some parenting boo-boos before, but let me know, I've never left the Messiah as a child 2 days away, the Holy One of Israel. Come on, Mary left the Alpha and the Omega in another city and went home. You're not doing that bad as a mama today. Go ahead and give yourself a hand clap. I'm telling you, it's powerful. You know, Jess and I, the other night, we ate on Wednesday night with a bunch of people from the church. A lot of times people will be over in Chick-fil-A after the church. And we went in there and we're eating. And Jessie had her car there and I had my car there. And so I'm pulling out. We've had our meal. And I'm pulling out of the Chick-fil-A. And all of a sudden, I feel somebody that start beating on the window beside me. And I think it's one of the teenagers messing with me or something like that. And I look over and it's not. It's Mandy Jackson and she has chapel. I've forgotten my child and left her at the Chick-fil-A. And Mandy brought her out to me. But Jessie was in her car. She forgot her too. And since she's not here today, come on, it's Jessie's fault. Somebody say amen to that. It is Jessie's fault. You know, Jessie and I, we've been married for 18 years today. It's our 18th anniversary. We've been at it since 2000. Can't wait to see her. I'll pick her up from the airport. 18 years today. I know it's hard to believe I've been married 18 because I look like I'm 25, but really, I'm 40 years old, you know? 18 years today. Here's the last thing. I'm almost out of time. Let me tell you about Mary, what Mary did. So Mary stayed present with Jesus all the way to the crucifixion. That's commitment, isn't it? She stayed present with Jesus all the way to the crucifixion. You know, if you read the numbers of people that came out in the crowd in the Bible as Jesus was ministering, whenever he's performing miracles and he's feeding the crowd swell. Performs a miracle of multiplication, something like 5,000 people are present one day, not counting the rest of the family. That's probably just the heads of the family, 5,000 people. There's a second time he performs a miracle of multiplication. There's like 4,000 people there present that day. But as Jesus gets closer to the cross and things get tougher, kind of the message gets harder, the crowd gets smaller. When it comes down to doing the work, there were 70 that went with him, went out two by two. Somewhere around 500 people. After his death, burial, and his resurrection, they hear about his resurrection. He shows himself alive, 500. 70 go two by two. There's 12 that are really tight to him, the disciples. They go with him almost everywhere. Out of that 12, there were three more, Peter, James, and John. They were like Jesus' right-hand men. Now, out of all of those thousands of people that were with him at the miracle of multiplication, whenever he comes to the cross, the only man left with him is John. There's John at the cross, and then there's Mary, the mother, and some of the other ladies are there present. Come on, it's the love of a mother that'll stay with you through thick and thin. It's the love of a mother when nobody else can put up with you anymore. Come on, it's the love of a mother that loves you when you didn't even love yourself. It's the love of a mother that's for you whenever you were rejecting of your family. But come on, God loves you anyway, and mama loves you anyway. Let's give these mothers a hand clap for their love. She was there all the way to the crucifixion. She stayed faithful with Jesus. It's powerful. Something about that stick-to-itness of a mother, that it kind of pales every other relationship on the earth. You know, it just changes things. It's that power of a mother's connection with their child. I want to thank all you moms, man, for taking care of us, for sticking with us, for loving us, for not killing us when we were teenagers. Come on, somebody say amen to that. Bringing us to this place. Let's stand up on our feet and give mom one more hand clap. Y'all stay with me. Stand up and give mom one more hand clap. Amen. We thank you.